Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the epistle reading as we continue to make our way through the book of Colossians. Today the passage comes from chapter 2. And Paul's main concern in this passage is that the Colossian Christians would remember who it is that they are supposed to be listening to. The Colossians are having their attention fought for by all different kinds of people, all different kinds of groups, and Paul makes it very clear that all of these other voices out there are empty voices. And yet Jesus is the one who can and does truly fill us because he is God in the flesh. He is our Lord. And so certainly he is the only one that is worth listening to for the Colossians then and for us today. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, well, I think I'm finally recovered after 2 weeks since the National Youth Gathering. I feel like everything is somewhat back to normal now ever since our trip to Minneapolis. Those of you who have been on those kinds of youth gathering trips before, either as a participant or as an adult leader, you know how amazing the experience can be, how great it is to go on a trip like that. You know that it's a opportunity to see thousands of other Lutherans all at the same time and to see how big the church really is, a lot bigger than it feels sometimes when you're just here in good old Hoyleton. But when you get out there and you see people coming together from all over the country, it's really an amazing sight. It's a great, fun experience and opportunity. It's good for spiritual growth. But man, like, it is exhausting, I'll tell you. You know, I have only missed one National Youth Gathering since I was eligible to go just after my freshman year in 2001. I only missed one. But every time I go from here on out, I keep being reminded that I am not in high school anymore. Like, you know, you come back to your hotel room after midnight, you get up early the next day, you've got all this walking to do. I mean, it's no big deal if you're a teenager and you still live off of Mountain Dew and Cheetos, right? But man, this is the first one I went to since I turned 30, and I could really tell the difference. Anyway, one of the many things that the youth gathering experience is known for is the music. You get to hear a lot of different kinds of music, particularly in the mass events when you're there with everybody in the stadium. They always put together a really wonderful praise band. They have musicians from all over the country and great singers. And it's basically like going to a Christian rock concert 4 nights in a row. I mean, it's really that good. The music is really high energy and upbeat. And naturally, there is a lot of dancing that goes along with this. And it's pretty neat to see sometimes when these dances are actually coordinated so that you look around and you see thousands upon thousands of people doing the same dance all at the same time. And I know that might be hard for us to kind of imagine, you know, being with thousands of people doing the same dance all at once, but I thought we could have a little bit of a glimpse of that even right here. And so what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to step out of the pulpit. This is kind of, I know, unprecedented, uncharted waters. I want to teach you one of the very simple dances that we did in Minneapolis, okay? And so this dance, it really all it does is involves some clapping. That's it. And so we didn't know what to call it, so we're just going to call it the clap dance, okay? And basically all you have to do, and I'm going to pretend like I'm a mirror, okay? So I'm going to do it backwards. But you're just clapping in a square. Okay, so you clap up and to the right. So go ahead, up and to the right, up and to the left, down and to the right, down and to the left. That's all you got to do, just in a square. And you kind of do it over and over again, okay? You just clap, good, yes, that's good. All right, now let's everybody stand up. If you're able, you don't have to. All right, and we're going to see if we can get this going, okay? Here we go. Can we go faster? All right, now we need some music, right? Here we go. You know, I sat there in my office thinking, are they really going to do that with me? Now, imagine everybody doing that all at once, right? Then you look over to a section or two over and you see that there's a few youth groups that have decided that they want to be rebels. They don't want to dance like everybody else. So they've decided they're going to dance like this. They're going to dance by rolling their arms up, then down, then up, then down. Everybody else is doing the clap dance, but they're doing this, right? Then you look over to the other side, and you see another youth group, and they're dancing like this. They're waving their arms side to side, okay? So now, let's try this. Everybody here on the north side, you're gonna do the clap dance, just like we just learned, okay? Everybody here on the south side, what I want you to do is I want you to roll up, down, balcony people. I see you up there. You're gonna be my arm wavers, okay? So you're gonna go right, left, right, left. You know, right is this way, okay? Right is, yeah. All right, we're gonna see some joyful chaos, okay? All right, here we go. Ready? All right, that's great. Thank you, guys. You can have a seat. Okay, so you take what we just did with about 200 people or so, and you multiply that by 100, and that's what you get, over 20,000 people doing all of that at the same time at U.S. Bank Stadium, right? Like I said, it's joyful chaos, and it was like that every single night. You thought Lutherans couldn't dance, but I think we just proved that wrong. Now, even if you are not into dancing, even if dancing is not your thing, I'm gonna go ahead and make a bold statement. Everybody is a dancer. Even if you have two left feet, even if you have no rhythm whatsoever, even if the thought of going out on a dance floor gives you all kinds of anxiety and makes you uncomfortable, you are still a dancer. Maybe not outwardly in a way that everybody can see, but certainly inwardly, you dance. Your soul throughout your whole life is dancing to a certain beat. You have a certain rhythm. It doesn't matter where you are. You could be at work, you could be at home, you could be in the car, you could be out in the field, you could be sitting here in the pew on Sunday morning and you're still tapping your toes to the rhythm in your soul. You're bebopping to the beat. Now, what that inward soul dancing looks like outwardly changes depending on what sort of music you're listening to. Right? The dance has to match the music. You wouldn't swing dance to hip hop, right? You wouldn't polka to a country song, right? So the dance has to match the music. I mean, you could do those things, but you'd look kind of silly, right? So the real question is not about the dancing at all. The real question is about the soundtrack. What kind of music is guiding your life? And that's essentially the question that Paul is concerned with as he writes to the Colossians, especially here in this section in chapter 2 of his letter. And Paul is not using the music metaphor that I'm going with this morning, but this is what he says. He says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." So what Paul calls walking, we could call dancing. Basically, if you belong to Christ, then you need to dance according to Christ's rhythm, is what Paul is saying. And then he goes on in verse 8, he says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world and not according to Christ. So in other words, don't be tempted to change the radio station to something else. Don't change the playlist. Don't change the soundtrack. Don't dance the way that everybody else in the world dances. Now, that's a pretty simple concept to understand, but that's a whole lot easier said than done. And it certainly was true for the Colossians, because they were living at a time when it was hard just to even hear the music that Christ was playing, let alone dance to it. The music of Christ was being drowned out by all kinds of other songs. You had this one group that was they were called the Judaizers. They were the ones that went to the Colossians and they told them, you have to adhere to Jewish customs and Jewish traditions if you want to be considered a true Christian. That's actually why Paul spends so much time toward the end of this passage talking about circumcision. Then you had these other songs that were being sung by the Greek philosophers of the day, people that were convinced that the only true source of wisdom in the world is human reason. That's the only thing they thought that you should be focused on. But Paul, right in this passage, reminds them, it's not Jewish custom, it's not human reason and wisdom. No, he says that Jesus is God. He says, in him, Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. So if Jesus is God, that makes him Lord of the dance. And if he's Lord of the dance, then it doesn't matter what other music anybody else is listening to. No other music matters. Now, Paul would have had no way of knowing back then what kinds of music the world would be listening to today, in 2019. But his words to the Colossians back then apply just as well to us now as they ever have to any group of Christians. It's hard for us not to get caught up in grooving to the soundtrack of our culture, right? And our generation's greatest hits are things like, you know, the song Do What Feels Right, or the song Just Follow Your Heart, or Coexist, or Love is Love, or My Body, My Choice. The world today says that science is the only authority that is worth listening to. And if you're going to have your God talk, you're going to have your spirituality, you better do that on your own time, you better do that in private, keep that out of the public square. You should have religion, but you should have it to yourself, and you should never take your religion so seriously that it would actually change the way you act, the way you speak, even the way you think. That's what the world says. But if we follow Paul's encouragement, if we actually walk in Christ, if we dance to the rhythm of the Lord of the dance, what that's going to mean is that we are going to look a whole lot different than everybody else. We are going to be weird. We're going to be the ones, the rebellious ones, who are dancing like this when everybody else is dancing like this. Should that bother us? Absolutely not. Because Jesus is God. He's the Lord of the dance. No one else's opinion even matters. And Jesus has used that divine power as God, that divine authority to rescue you from death. In fact, you were already dead. And Jesus raised you up. You were guilty, and Jesus forgave you. You had a debt that you could not pay, and Jesus covered your bill with his blood shed upon the cross. Why in the world would we listen to anybody else's soundtrack or rhythm? Just because we don't want to stick out like a sore thumb? Believe me, There's no one who knows better what it's like to be different in this world than Jesus himself, who was the only sinless man to ever walk this planet. Well, sorta. Because you see, you are baptized. You are baptized in him. And even though you and I are sinners, and we have inherited that sinful nature, our old Adam, our old Eve, we have also been made new, holy, righteous, and perfect. We're sinners, but we're forgiven sinners. Our debt has been set aside. Paul says our debt has been nailed to the cross. So if you are in Jesus, then from the Father's perspective, you are sinless. And if you are in Jesus, then from the world's perspective, you're kind of weird. You're dancing to your own beat. You are the picture of joyful chaos. You're doing your own thing, and you're not caring about other people's opinions. And someday, on the last day, when the Lord of the dance returns and makes everything new again, our dancing won't be considered weird anymore. Because if we think that joining together with 22,000 other Lutherans at U.S. Bank Stadium is impressive, that's nothing compared to what it's going to be like on the last day when we are joined together with all of the saints and the angels and the archangels, and we will dance. We will dance in sync and in unity with the rhythm of the Lamb upon his throne. So may our dancing here on earth reflect that heavenly dancing as long as we live. In the name of Jesus, the Lord of the dance. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.